soul peppers.
I've never heard someone give such a lengthy introduction. And really not even talk about me at all. But Chris is protecting me. I appreciate him. We're buddies. We're good buds. And you know, I think we can handle this just fine. We're going to talk about things that I think are important. I'm kind of passionate about it. And I think you'll see once, in fact, my introduction is much shorter now. Chris took care of most of that. A verse that comes to mind, and the word wrestle is the very first word on my outline here. Wrestling. Russell Wrestling. I was kind of enjoying that little play on words there. I'm going to blame Craig Ford, also one of my buddies, for coming up with this wrestling theme that we've had. When we meet together as ministers, we have like a WWE wrestling theme on the wall. No, I'm kidding, we don't. Most of you say you don't even know what that is, but the younger people do. That's wrestling, okay, if you watch it on television. Craig's been talking about wrestling with things in our context for several years now, and he likes that word, and there's some reasons why I think it's appropriate that we do wrestle with some of these things. Mark 9:38, something I wrestle with. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us. But Jesus said, 'Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward.'" So, like I said, Chris kind of took care of a lot of these first thoughts that I had. It seems like in Scripture, when we talk about false teachers, now you got to not make judgments until I get finished talking, okay? But when you see about false teachers in Scriptures, it's usually pointing back to people who got Christ wrong. There are definitely groups who get Christ wrong. I'm 100% on board with that. I can name, and I will name, Mormons and Islam, Jehovah's Witness. There are folks that get Christ wrong. There are folks, otherwise, that I think get Christ right, who I don't agree with their theology. To be predestined, that you all were chosen, and that's the only reason you're here. Everyone else that's not here is doomed to hell. I can't get on board with that at all. I can't even grasp that, quite frankly, a God who would choose to do that. And that's a belief that's out there among denominational folks. So we're going to just agree that there are folks that are in the denominational world that we don't agree with on theology. Having said that, there are folks in this room who we may not agree on theology completely either. And I probably could assure you on that. I found in our own congregations that you'll make assumptions about who is and who is not. And if you get to know folks, you'll quickly discover, oh, well, you don't believe that? Well, no, why would I believe that? And until you actually discuss it and talk about it, maybe, and it may be on some really strong core values of our theology in the Churches of Christ. My anecdotal experience just as living in the world that I do in Lewistown, and I think it's important to know context, 6,000 people in Lewistown, very similar to Glendive from what I've gathered from our stay last night with Miss Renata, sweet lady. She did such a good job of taking care of us. But 6,000 people, we're the only Church of Christ in town, probably 13 or 14 other congregations, folks who are trying to worship God on a Saturday or a Sunday of some sort. So that kind of gives you a context of where I am and who I am. So as we think about that, I'm wondering why we don't discuss, why don't we interact more with these other folks? That's my question today. We're going to talk about why we don't interact, and then I'm going to suggest maybe some reasons why we should. And I'm going to put that in context as to whether that's an individual or whether that's a congregational aspect of that. Because those are, I think, very different things, and we can kind of discuss that and talk about it. So we're not all going to agree among anybody. But do we currently interact with other Christian groups as individuals or believers? And my anecdotal experience says we don't. In the Churches of Christ, we do not interact that often with others. And I've got some thoughts about why. First of all, circumstances. We're not allowed to do that. maybe our leadership says, no, you don't need to be doing that, Russell. I'm afraid of what's going to happen. You're not encouraged to do it. Maybe you're not told not to do it. And I'm thinking as far as maybe individuals, but maybe especially as leaders here. That's kind of got a room full of leaders today. Maybe you're afraid to do that. I've never done that before, Russell. I don't know what would happen if I did that. I get weird feelings inside when I think about doing that. I can tell you one thing. I know it's easier not to. It's really easy to separate ourselves and isolate ourselves. I've been reading a book recently. Scott Kelly wrote a book called Endurance, My Year on the International Space Station. Scott Kelly's an astronaut. He spent a year up there. It's a record for an American, and a pretty neat book. So they're up there in this big tin can. You all know, you can watch it go by at night. Five or six school bus size pieces all tied together, little nodes sticking off of that. You have the American side, you have a European node, and then you have a Russian module. And the Russians and the U.S., fairly large. They're 200 miles above the Earth, rotating at 17,000 miles an hour. And they spend the large majority of their time in each of their modules, and they don't see each other very often. And I think that's just, it bothered me. We've got folks that are so isolated from the rest of humanity, and they spend most of their time separated from each other, 60 feet apart in these big metal nodules up there in the sky. And there's reasons behind that. They speak a little bit of a different language, even though they can understand each other a little bit. There's different money paying for different aspects of it, so if they come over, they have to deal with some of the money aspects of it. But really, they're just very different people. And it's just easier to separate themselves and not interact on a daily basis. That blew me away. And then I thought about that in our context, and I thought, it's not that much different. Here we are with these folks all around us that have a similar belief in Christ. You know, if you admit it, most of them do. We disagree on some theology. We're going to be okay with that. We're going to talk about that. I've joked in the past about joining a commune. I've actually talked about starting one. This was when we didn't have children, and I thought, you know, it'd be so much easier if we just start a commune and move away. And now that I have those two good-looking little daughters over there, son's not that good-looking. If you see my daughters, they're gorgeous, and now I'm like, yes, I'm definitely starting a commune. And we're going to pick those husbands and those wives. No, my son's a handsome boy. But that's not the right way to look at that. We need to interact. I think about the utopia of Christian colleges. I experienced it. Loved Fried Hardeman. Enjoyed my time there. And I think about certain aspects of it, of when those kids are young and they're growing and changing, maybe there are some good ways in which pulling together like that is a good thing. But I know probably the large majority of you in the room did not attend one of those Christian colleges and are here today as good, solid folks. Maybe you're just uncomfortable discussing different theologies. You're just not okay with it. Maybe you're unfamiliar with practices of other churches out there, other congregations. I know that's the way I was. I had never attended never walked in another church building other than the Church of Christ in all of my life until I moved to Lewistown. I know there's people here who have been working on their master's degrees, and they're required to go to another congregation of a different faith. And I thought, you know, that's not a bad idea. So I've done that in Lewistown. I've attended Easter services, say, at one of the community church congregations. I heard instrumental music for the first time in my life. And I thought, I'm probably going to die by doing this, but I'm going to experience it. My ears did not burn off. And it was a mixture of different congregations. And so there was the guy with his guitar, and he played a little song, sung to it. Oh, okay. And then there was the three ladies who were a little bit elderly who sung their song. And I was like, oh, okay. And then there was kind of the full band type feel to it. And I was like, oh, okay. And I realized, you know, I like what we do. I like the simplicity of it, and I think it's scriptural, but I also think it's easier to sing along with. And there were certain aspects of the different types of things that I heard, whether we talk about the theology behind it or not, that I was like, you know, the guy with his little guitar, I could still sing with him. I could still hear. Some of the other things I couldn't as much. So I kind of processed that, walked through some of that. I wasn't comfortable with it. Still not comfortable with it. But I experienced it. My children have experienced it. And they're still here today. They're still faithful to Daddy and Mama after having sat through some of those practices. They can get very distracted in other church services just as well as they can in ours. similar levels of distraction. Maybe you already know their beliefs and you just don't want anything to do with it. Paul seemed to think differently about those type things. He seemed to already know their beliefs, but yet he wanted to be there to work with them and to struggle through some things with them. He said, I see that you've got a God over here to the unknown God, and let me talk to you about that. He was there to teach, but he had to be there in order to do that. He couldn't just say, I'm going to isolate myself from those folks. I'm going to run the opposite direction. Maybe you just would rather not struggle with a different viewpoint. It's just more than you can handle. Maybe it's a fear that you'll change your beliefs. Well, but Russell, if I start thinking about that and I start studying about it, what happens if... Have you ever changed your beliefs of Scripture in your lifetime? I'm seeing some head nods. Especially from some of the folks who have a little more gray. If you look real close right here. I've changed my views on some things in my 43 years. I don't believe listening to another viewpoint is going to weaken me to the point that I'm going to just go over to whatever, apostasy. If you do believe that, I fear for your strength of your faith. If you're so weak that you think that you're just going to fall for anything that someone's going to mention to you, then I worry about your health, your spiritual health. There might have been some of the things that you've changed your beliefs on that are very minor, and there may be some that were pretty major. I think we ought to be strong enough to wrestle through with some of those things. There's a book called Emotionally Unhealthy Spirituality by Peter Scazzaro. I hope that's how I say that correct. He gave me the book. He was kind enough to bless me with a book, and I actually thought the way he sounded was, I found this at a store for like a nickel, and I thought I'd give it to you, Russell. And I was like, oh, well, thanks. Turns out it was like a well-known author, and it's actually, he probably put a little thought into it. And it's been an interesting book. If our emotional health, spiritually speaking, is troubled, then we will instinctively pull away from anything that questions our belief. And that's Russell speaking. And that to me looks like a faith that is a mile wide and about an inch deep. If we're so emotionally unhealthy, if we're so fragile about our spiritual beliefs that we are afraid to even venture out into a different belief system, a different view of anything that we hold dear to ourselves in a spiritual way, then our faith is very, very shallow. Now, that's not to say that all who do not interact with other denominations, I say other denominations, are in this boat, but it could be that you're a symptom of unhealthiness, emotionally and spiritually speaking, if you're just scared to death of that. Now, I'm not sure I've had a room this quiet in all the time I've ever spoken. You can laugh, that's okay. So I'm going to tell you about some of the blessings that I've experienced through these beliefs that I'm not comfortable worshiping with. Okay? Do you understand? Do you hear that? I do believe in my time on this earth that we will be worshiping with you. And I love that. There are folks who I've gotten a chance to know on a very personal level who do not attend a Church of Christ that I believe are first century Christians, just like you and I. In fact, I would say I know they are. So when we talk about the Baptists, when we talk about that church over there, I just want you to be really careful before you say, well, I know what they believe. If you've read a book that says this is what all Baptists believe, let me tell you it's wrong. Because I've talked to some of those folks, and they don't believe what's in that book. my brother-in-law's famous, I guess, I think he's famous for, from my aspect of saying, churches don't go to heaven, people go to heaven. Now, I might have to wrestle with that a little bit and say, well, what about the church? But I'm just saying, he uses that churches in the sense of this congregation or that congregation. And I tend to believe that he's correct in that. People make choices. People go to heaven. But Russell, why are they worshiping with that church over there if they don't agree with all the different aspects of it? I don't know the answer to that. But when I've gotten to know some of these folks and said, why were you baptized, by the way? Oh, I wanted to have my sins forgiven. You did. That's not what you believe. Think about the audacity of us saying, well, that's not what you believe. Well, yes, it is. I just told you it was. But this book tells me that's not what you believe. I don't know. I haven't read that book, Russell. Oh, okay. So here are some of the blessings that I have found in my short time on this earth, and especially really in my short time in Lewistown. Having a different perspective on some of these different aspects of theology that others in Lewistown have among other congregations has helped me see the gospel in a new light in some cases. Maybe it's the same teachings that I've always believed, but maybe I see grace differently after hearing it spoken about by Pastor Kerr at the Celebration Church. It's a Foursquare church. I don't really know much about Foursquare, a little bit about it. But hearing him talk about grace makes me wish I knew grace more. And maybe there's some things that I talked about with obedience made him think about things differently. Remember the time recently when I was talking to Pastor Kurt? He has coffee at his congregation every Thursday morning for us pastors in the community. And I go in there and he's talking about different aspects of life among his group. And he talks about his eldership. And I was like, eldership? You have an eldership? He said, well, yeah, that's our governing body. It's an eldership. Like the one in the scriptures? He said, yeah. I was like, oh. I read a book once that said you didn't. It took me aback that he spoke of it as an eldership. Does it look exactly like what we would have? Similar, yeah, really similar. It took me aback a little bit. I told some of my leadership about it. I said, did you know they had an eldership? He's like, no. They do? Yeah, they do. Oh, okay. Different perspective, a little bit of a different governing body. They do have a headquarters he sends a report to every month, which he hates to do, interestingly enough. Maybe we have the same message. We have some of the same beliefs even. We do, let me just say that. But we maybe see it through different viewpoints. There are some congregations. We have a Christian church in Lewistown. We have a lot of similarities with the Christian church. Came out of the Restoration Movement. And there are some differences as well. But that's one specifically where a lot of us would say, yeah, we have a lot in common with those folks. So, what other opportunities exist? What other blessings? Sharing our faith. I think that's one that has come up several times. We have had folks sent to us from other congregations in Lewistown. They came in to worship with them and they said, you know what? You may be more comfortable down at the Church of Christ. You know, you might, I know your faith background and it sounds to me like you might be more comfortable down there with Russell. Now, that might be a ploy to get rid of some of their trouble folks. It sounds like something Chris would do, right? You might want to move to Lewistown there. Yeah, I think Russell needs you. Maybe. It can be very encouraging, quite frankly, when I see other folks of different beliefs who are doing their best sincerely for God. You might struggle with that comment, but to me it is. It's encouraging. I'm no longer of the viewpoint when I look at someone to say, oh, that congregation over there. I don't know what God believes about all those differences that we have in theology, and they are sometimes numerous. But I no longer look at them and say, those heathens that don't have any respect for God's word. How could they believe that? They just want to have their ears tickled. It's not true, folks. I don't know if you've gotten to know them, but I have in Lewistown. And that is absolutely not the case. Here's the problem. Some of them are having a conference just like this somewhere else. And they're saying the same things about you. Those Church of Christ people, they only believe what they want to believe. They just want to have their ears tickled. Oh, I can't believe they've been deceived by the evil one. Did you know that? They actually say that. Pastor Frank, First Baptist Church there in Lewistown, we were talking about something one time, and he said, I got some folks that would have trouble with what you teach, Russell. I said, vice versa. We're sitting around a table discussing it as men of God, and lovingly agreeing that we disagree on some things, and that some of our people don't want us around that table. He said, oh yeah, I've got a lot of folks that don't approve of probably what we're doing here and how many times we do cooperate. Talk about that in a little bit. I did talk to my leadership when I moved to Lewistown. I said, there's a pastor's fellowship in Lewistown. I feel like, and by some suggestions from men in this room, that I probably need to be a part of that. What do you think? And he said, oh, I definitely think you need to. You can't be in Lewistown, Montana, and to isolate yourself from the rest of the world. You will shrink up and you will die. I get what I need from all of you when we're here. And at the youth rally in Great Falls, and the youth rally in Billings, and the youth rally in Belgrade, and at Bible camp, and there's about 7 times a year that I get to see a lot of you. That leaves 350-something days where I don't get to see all of you. And that is where I draw some strength from these other men, and frankly, some women of God. To know that they are trying to seek God just like I am, and the only way that they know how, with all their heart, even though we see it differently. I'm not telling you I understand where they are and where they will be. I don't know. I know where I am, and I know where I want to be, and I know they want the same thing. If I don't connect with them in some way, nobody's required to do that. If that's something beyond you, then I'm not going to ever judge you for that. But there are some of you who are just scared to death of it. And you may want to do that, and you may want to reach out and make some of these connections. And I just want to say, I think it's okay that you can do that and still have a relationship with God that's God-honoring in all those ways. I have grown from some of the men that I've had connection with through that pastor's fellowship. Mostly what we do, we have coffee on Thursday mornings if I choose to go. I only go about once a month usually. And we have a once a month breakfast on Thursday mornings. It'll be this Thursday, and I will host it and cook food this Thursday. I'm already a little bit tired from having been gone last week, and then I had one day home, and then I'm here. And then I got to get up and cook breakfast for those men and any guests that might come in on Thursday morning. Remind me to do that, Allison. I hadn't actually told her, so she's probably going to make the breakfast casserole. Very possible. I have grown from some of those men. Pastor Jake is at First Christian. He's just been there a while. He's only in his 30s. He and his wife just got married. He and I are friends. He lets me borrow his commentaries. He's got a plethora of commentaries, and I get to go borrow them from him. We have coffee about once a month to talk about the two different works that we're a part of. And that's where I talk about cooperation. That's the kind of stuff we're doing. We're not having services at his congregation, nor is he having that at our congregation. As a congregation, we're pretty separate. But as an individual, I'm in the same neighborhood as they are, if we'd say it that way. It's weird that we wouldn't hesitate to go fishing with a buddy that has a filthy mouth but a really nice bass boat. Or we wouldn't hesitate to serve on the fire department with someone, or to do business at someone's location that you just love going into. I've got a coffee shop that's my place. And maybe those folks are very heathenistic in their views. We don't hesitate to do those type things. But to have a close, deep relationship with someone of another faith, which is based on Jesus, who we all recognize, we might be nervous and we might shun that. Maybe we are good friends, but we just don't go there, so to speak. We're not going to talk about those things. So I'm going to give you some examples of things that I've been able to be a part of. And you're welcome to talk to me afterwards about some of these things. And I'll tell you how I'm struggling with it still in some ways. Personal friendships, they're grounded in Christ. We have good friends who attend at First Christian Church. And then they will come to see us on Wednesday nights. Our children are best friends. So we are constantly in touch with them. And we have grown because of that. And I think they have been changed because of our relationship. Hopefully in a positive way. Pastor's Fellowship, I've mentioned that. You keep a pulse on the community. What's going on in the religious world? What's coming up? Who's moving into town? What businesses are coming up? Maybe we need to be fighting against the lottery or alcoholism. Or there's big problems in Lewistown that as a group of believers we could struggle with. Maybe it's tragedy. We lost two young high school girls in a massive car wreck. And it shook the whole community. All of us pastors were involved. Me on the fire department, others because they conducted the funerals for these young girls, others because it's the community. We all are a part of it. Benevolence, hey, Sally's coming by, do not give her any more money. We have helped her, and it's time for her to step up and do something with her life. And then they call me and say, hey, have you been helping her? Yeah, I've been helping her. Oh, okay, well, we're not going to help her then. You keep working with her. We do that all the time. There are sometimes open doors. I told you about them saying, why don't you go see Russell? You'd probably fit better down there. Russell's really good working with folks that are struggling in their marriage. Jake has sent me 4 couples to counsel and do premarital counseling with because he was unmarried. 4 couples. One of those young women was baptized not too long ago. Through one of their members. I went to the baptism. We were there. They quoted more verses about why baptism is essential than I ever have during a baptism. I was taken aback by how scriptural that baptism was. No questions asked. 100% scriptural baptism. And we were in attendance to that. They don't even attend, that couple don't, because they work, both of them are working Sundays. But folks that I 100% know have a scriptural baptism. Pastor Brent. Pastor Brent is a really special guy to me. He is the current pastor at the Methodist Church in Lewistown. He's been there about 3 years. We have a deep personal friendship. He's probably 62. He's not in the best health. And he prays better than anybody I've ever known. He has taught me to pray. I will just say it that bluntly. He freaked me out the first 5 times we were together. All right, Russell, it's time to pray. Lord, we are here. And I was like, whoa, hey, there's people around here. What are you doing? And then I asked him, I said, why are your eyes open? He said, I drove a truck for about 30 years, and I couldn't pray with my eyes closed, Russ. So now I look at God when I pray to him. He does. Lord, we are here tonight. And I was like, man, you're messing with me over here. I'm not used to that. Brian, what's the first thing we do when Pastor Brent's around? We pray. He will ask, kids, what have we forgot to do? Pray. We cook 20 gallons of soup together through the community cupboard. I'm the chair of that board. He serves on that board. And we are directing that board into a godly fashion. Pretty cool. And when we're together, it's always. He texted me today, Russ, are you in town? No, I'm not. We need to pray for people like Pastor Brent. I know we don't even talk about theology. There's some big differences. And guess what? He already knows all of mine. He's been around a lot longer than I have, and he kind of knows what Church Christ believes. We've talked about it enough. He knows that we differ on some items. He reaches through all those barriers, and he pulls in that evangelical group there in Lewistown. He shouldn't even be on that pastor's fellowship. We never included the Methodist Church in the past because they were mainline. They're supposed to be the Lutherans and the Catholics. Oh my, let's not even talk about them. And he reaches over and says, hey, can I come to your group? And we're like, I guess. And he's more evangelical than the rest of us. It seems like. We need to pray for him. He has a female bishop that's over all the Western Methodist churches. She's homosexual. And she is pushing that, and she is going to completely break up that denomination. Some of you might say, all right, you know. But to me, it's sad, because he stands on the biblical truth of homosexuality. Once again, he's encouraging me. But he has a wonderful view of how to maybe work with those folks. He's being pushed out of his own denomination because of standing for biblical truth. So we need to pray for people like Pastor Brent. He feeds the poor more than anybody I've ever seen. He has more of a heart of compassion for people than I've ever seen. The homeless guy, he said, Russ, come here. Like, what? He's like, come here, get in the truck. Get in the truck. We're going to go buy food. There's a homeless guy on Main Street. We got to go find him. I saw him an hour ago, and I've got food. Let's go find him. Come with me. I'm literally walking down the sidewalk, and he picks me up, and we get in the car. And we go find Jeff. Jeff goes all over Montana. Some of you, we could talk about him. You probably know who he is. He looks like Kenny Rogers, except he's really tall and thin. And he sleeps outside at negative 30. He's mentally insane. Talks about the Queen of England. He talks about being born into the Nuclear Defense Agency. He's crazy. And Pastor Brent feeds him. There you go, Landy. Talked about I'm tired, and I get very emotional when I'm tired. He feeds him, he clothes him, he takes him to the bus so he can get to Great Falls. And I'm going to give him Belgrade's phone number next time. Bismarck, he's coming your way. He's got such a heart for these people that stink. And that don't know how to take care of themselves. Actually, Jeff does a pretty good job. He says, I need some alcohol, rubbing alcohol, because that keeps the fungus off my feet. I put it in my family. He'd be a great guy for the North Face jackets. He'll tell you which clothes are really warm and which ones aren't worth the money. I take him to Shopko, and he's like, don't buy that. It's cheap. Get this stuff over here. I'm like, okay, whatever you think, Jeff. Pastor Brent's got a heart for folks like that. There's a group in Lewistown called Camp Lutana. It's a camp there south of town. It's a non-denominational Baptist camp. It's supposed to be funny. We're non-denominational. I'm like, every board member is a Baptist guy. Well, you know, I don't know. So, I mean, even they have their issues, right? We sent our kids to the camp. They had a day camp. We knew a lot of folks going. We're part of a homeschool group, by the way. We homeschool our kids. Almost all, if not all, the homeschool kids are religiously affiliated, very, very believers. But this camp, we were like, you know, how do we feel about that? We struggled with it a little bit. I even talked to some leadership again. I'm very careful about that. I don't want to push envelopes. But I said, what do you think about this? And they said, I mean, they're just teaching Christ, right? I said, yeah. And we talked to them when they get home about what happened. And so we did that. We enjoyed it. And we went to their final night where they do some little performance, and they said, Caden said, yeah, we had a good talk yesterday. I said, you did? He said, yeah, this guy told us that what do you have to do to be saved? And Brindley raised her hand and said, be baptized. And they said, no, next person. And they were like, oh, well, you just got to believe. Yes, that's right. And Brindley's like, that's not what the Bible says, you know. So Katie gets into an argument with one of the counselors, who's like 17. We go to that little event, and we discuss it. I was like, hey, I heard my son disagree with you about baptism. He's like, yeah. And it comes to find out that's what he had been told by a professor at a Bible camp somewhere. And when I started asking him questions about falling away, once saved, always saved, and I said, these verses really confuse me about that. I've just always struggled with, this verse says this. He said, oh, yeah. Well, that's just what my professor told me, but yeah, I see what you're saying there. I don't know that anybody ever had that conversation with him. And we struggled with that together, me and that counselor, and then we shook hands, and we had supper together, and then we went home, and our kids are none worse for the wear. In fact, I think they might be a little better off from having experienced that it was probably 10, 8, and 6 at the time. I'm not ashamed of that. I don't think I should be. Taught at that camp during the summer. They said, you want to come talk for a week? For an hour for every day of that week? I said, sure, I'll do that. Talk to my leadership again about it. Yeah, yeah. You have an opportunity, Russell. I said, yeah. And just the other day, I went through McDonald's. First of all, every time I order, they say, hey, Russell, They can tell by my accent who it is. And I got up to the window, and he said, did you speak at Camp Lieutenant for that teen week? I said, yeah, I probably did. He said, I remember you. Yeah, appreciate you. A little influence in the community. I talked about the baptism that we witnessed. That couple that we were able to do their premarital counseling, I actually married them. They were recovering meth addicts. I got to get to know them because Pastor Jake from First Christian sent them to me. Recovering meth addicts doing great things for God. They're going to do great things for God. They're some of our good friends. You talk about tattooed up. You talk about a bad record. They were arrested in Lewistown less than 2 years ago. And here they are making a huge change. It's so refreshing. So refreshing to see that. I serve on the Inspired Pregnancy Center Outreach Board. I'm the president of that board. It's a multi-denominational board. It has a spiritual influence. We want to tell these girls that are coming into us with child, or they're not sure if they're with child, about Jesus. The way they present that gospel is not the way I would like to present it, but I'm on that board, and I have an influence to maybe change that, or for them to say, you know, you need to go see a pastor, and I know the guy. He serves on our board with us. And then I have an opportunity. If I'm not on that board, I don't have that opportunity. And they're saving women from having abortions. We take up money and we support that board, and I do a lot of things for that board to show these young women that have had abortions that they can be forgiven. And you talk about tough. I don't know of anybody in my congregation right now, and I think I can speak for them. I've talked about, you know, volunteering, and I haven't had anybody come forward to volunteer on that board or in that ministry from our congregation. But I don't think there's anybody in my congregation who can speak from the side of having had an abortion. It's very possible there could be that they haven't said anything. But I don't think I have. But those women on that board who serve at other churches, some of them very freshly declaring Christianity, have had abortions. And now they're serving in that ministry role, and I've got to support them. Because they're helping women to say, you can be forgiven. If you haven't been through that, they don't want to hear from you. They say, you don't understand what I have done. You can't imagine what I've done, some of the terrible things I've done. And this woman says, yes, I have. I've been there. I can go show you where my baby is, where the rock is that I put in the memory garden that has my baby's name on it. And they do that, and they walk them through this program that offers them forgiveness. I can't do that. I don't have that access. And they do. Do I struggle with that sometimes? Yeah, I still struggle with it. There are some things that go on. We started talking about Catholic faith because the Catholics love pro-life. Oh, man, they're so for it. And I'm like, but our board is not Catholic. We're going to disagree on some things enough that I don't know that I can. They give us a lot of money. They give us about $3,000 or $4,000 a year. And their people volunteer like crazy to come help. And I still struggle with that, folks. So I can't tell you I'm doing it right, but I can tell you I've been blessed by it. And I can tell you that I will probably continue to participate in ways in which the congregation might not participate, but individually I can. And I've told you already, as some of this last line was, guess what? Other pastors tell me their people struggle with the same issues that we're talking about today. I know we had one lady that was on that board, the pregnancy board, and she quit because she was not comfortable with it. And she was from the Baptist faith. And most of the people on the board were from her faith. But it got to where she was like, you know, I don't know that I can follow this anymore. I just don't feel comfortable with some of the things here and there. And we've got a Catholic person serving on the board. And we said, do you believe that Jesus is this and that Jesus is that? And we went through some of our core beliefs, trying to find unity. When we use that word unity, I think we use it in different ways. Can we get on board that Jesus is who he says he is in Scripture? I found something really disturbing. I was reading a Pew Research poll from 2018, early this year. 3,000-something evangelicals in America. And less than half understood who Christ really was. They said Christ was the greatest and best and the first thing that God created. That's 1,500 folks who claim to be Christians, and they don't even know that Jesus is God, that he is deity, that he wasn't a created being, that he has been and always will be. Folks, we got so much teaching we need to do just among our own folks. And not to mention that they all have a lot of work to do as well in those other congregations where they're trying to reach and trying to strive, and maybe they're also struggling and wrestling with some of these issues. Maybe some patience and some love is what we need to offer those folks. I think there's some things that we teach and believe, if not all, that are very dear to the heart of God. I'm going to seek after those things. I'm going to teach those things, and I always will. I think from where I'm standing today, that's where I'll be. But I think we need to be gracious to the folks who don't agree with all those things. And let's talk to them about what they believe. I saw it being done really poorly on a trip I was on recently. A young man just telling this other guy that was from another belief how wrong he was, and he quoted verse after verse, spitfire, bam, 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 bam. And I could hear it from about three blocks away, or three rooms down the road, down the church building. I knew it wasn't going well. I could see everybody's leaning forward, and I saw gritted teeth. That's not the way to do it. Let's go love on those folks and work with them for a while and get to know who they really are, and then see their intentions and see their heart and realize they're not doing it because they're idiots. They're not doing it because they have this vendetta against the Lord. They're not doing it because they just want to have their ears tickled. They're doing it because they sincerely believe that's what they ought to be doing, just like you. When we realize and we see it through that light, then we deal with those people differently. Amen. Not that we agree with everything, but we see them as a whole, loving person that wants to go to heaven just as much as you do. That's my prayer, folks, is that we could do that together. Not everybody has to do it in the exact same way, and you're not less of a person if you do. It's different in bigger cities, it's different in smaller cities, it's different in every context. That's where I am, that's where my family is, and we still struggle from day to day in some of those areas. Chris can pray here in a few minutes so that I don't have to and I don't shed another tear or two about how we can do that and finding some of that unity and maybe working together in some form or fashion with some of these folks. Thanks, Chris. Amen.